these censuses, and these are orphans that are living in homes, are living in institutions. Okay, that's 153 of them. this number is probably really low, and is because it doesn't take into account the number of kids that are living on the street in the world. And it's almost impossible to get a good number on those kids, right? But some credible estimates out there from some major organizations in the world is that there are about 150 million more street children in the world. Okay, so that's double the number of orphans that we know about. So 150 million street kids in the world. On top of that is another 1.2 million kids who are trafficked every year. That's kids that are sold into slavery, sold into child labor, sold into the sex trade. That's 1.2 million. And then on top of that are the tens of thousands of kids that are recruited to serve and to fight in armies, all right, as child soldiers. So we're looking at around 300 million orphans in the world right now. 300 million orphans that do not have parents, that do not have a mother and father, that are growing up in the world, that are being raised up without a family system, without any support around them that we here enjoy, each one of us here enjoy, right? If all of these kids moved to Canada, Canada's population would grow by 1,000%, right? It's around the same population as the entire United States, right? 300 million kids. And that's a lot of orphans in the world. And so why should this matter to us here in British Columbia, here in Vancouver? We have families. Some of us aren't married. We're not even close to being parents. Maybe we do have families already, but we're not really looking to expand our families in any ways through adoption or foster care. So why should we care about orphans and about adoptions? And here's the thing. You see these numbers here? God cares. Each of these 300 million kids out there, God cares deeply for them. And because God cares, there is a challenge on us as a church, as his people, as the church of Jesus Christ, people called by his grace, that we too ought to care. I mean, we need to care about this. We need to care. And so this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to look at God's heart for the orphan, God's heart for us, and then God's call to us. So God's heart for the orphan. Have you ever wondered why? Have you ever wondered why God calls himself Father? He could have stuck with any number of things, something grander, right? Like something like most divine creator in the universe or on high, right? The king of the universe, the supreme being, something that would describe how big he is, how powerful he is, how mighty he is, right? I like master of the universe, right? Just because I like He-Man and all that stuff and She-Ra. This is way beyond you guys. I'm like aging myself. Okay, so toys from the 80s, guys. Okay, Masters of the Universe. You look it up. But Father, why Father? Why Father? I mean, because family, that's why. Family, God wants to build up a family, ultimately. This is his goal. Sure, he wants to build a kingdom up. He wants to place Jesus as king and we alongside him, his co-heirs reigning alongside him. He wants to build up a church, a people of his own, people that ultimately bring him glory. I mean, ultimately, what God wants everything to look like, what God wants it to look like is family. He wants to build up a family. And if you think about it deeper, it's about the kind of relationship that he wants to build up with us and that we build up with one another. This is intimacy that he's going for. This closeness, right? This sense of belonging. You're not going to get that much if you call him Supreme Master or something like that. It just doesn't have that same ring to it. I'm not going to go up to my own dad and call him Supreme Master, right? It's weird, right? But God calls himself Father. He calls himself Father. He calls us to call him. He asks us, he wants us to call him Daddy, Abba Father. He wants us to see him as a father and not just some kind of like divine taskmaster who just tells us what to do and sets these things in motion, and if we don't, if we disobey, we're out of the picture, right? He wants us to be close to him, to talk to him, to go to him for help, to ask him for advice. He wants us to lean on him for strength. He wants to hold our hands and to walk us through the good and the bad things of life. Where he spreads out his wings for us in order to shield us, his children, so that we could find rest and comfort and protection in the shadow of his wings. And as a dad, man, like, and just speaking personally, there is not a lot of things better or that feel better than having your kid fall asleep in your arms. You have this relationship, like you are daddy to this little person, right? But you have to have this kind of relationship first before this can happen, right? You have to be able to have this relationship, this closeness, this intimacy with this child, that you can take this child in your arms and they'd be comfortable and protected enough to fall asleep in your arms, right? Like you wouldn't go to some random person on the street and be like, and fall asleep in their lap, right? Like, first of all, it'd be weird, right? But a grown man's going up to someone and say, hey, can I just sit on your lap for a second? And you fall asleep, right? Second of all, it's weird because you don't have this existing relationship with this person that would allow you to be able to do that in the first place, right? Like, I can't just go up to Phil and go into his arms and cuddle up to him and fall asleep, right? Because he's not my dad, right? But Audrey would be able to do that with me, right? But this is the thing. God is Father. God is the Father. We can have that kind of relationship with him, right? That kind of intimacy, that kind of closeness. I mean, this is what he longs for from us. He wants us to go to him. He wants us to cradle in his arms. But on top of that, God says this in Psalm 68, verse 5. He says that he is a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows. Is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. God sets the lonely in families. God is the father to the fatherless. And there's this promise that is given in Hosea 14:3, that in you, in God, is in you the fatherless finds mercy. I mean, the only true and living God has this special mark in his character, in his life, in his very heart, in who he is, that he longs to father the fatherless, that he longs for the orphan to find mercy in him alone, right? Gods of other religions, they might demand our worship, our loyalty, undying servitude, but only our God, the God of the triune God, God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, only this God specifically takes us under his wings, the ones who can't defend themselves, the ones who are especially vulnerable, the least of these, the widow, the orphan, the prisoners of this world, the foreigners in our world, only him takes us and defends us, those who can't defend themselves. It's God's heart is to be the father to the fatherless. He says to those who have no father, he says to them, take my hand. Call me daddy. His promise is to protect them, to guide them, to lead them, to teach them, to discipline them, to provide for them, to nourish them, to enjoy them, to love them, just like any daddy would for the rest of us. So if God the Father has a heart for the orphan, for the fatherless, then that means that God has a heart for us as well. So if I asked you, what the greatest blessing of the gospel is, what would you say? So a lot of people might say, salvation. Some of you might say, eternal life, that we get to live forever with Jesus. And those are all good things, but J.I. Packer, the great theologian, biblical scholar, would say that adoption is the highest blessing of the gospel. Over and above all of these. He says that because of the deeper relationship that being adopted means. And here's what he's talking about. In Galatians 4, verses 4 to 5, it says, "When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." In other words, God the Father adopts us as his own sons and daughters. Then this happens because his son, our elder brother, Jesus, came and redeemed us through what he did on the cross. The Father sends his son, Jesus, on this mission into this fallen world, right? And his mission was to redeem us. His mission was to redeem us, to save us. But why did he do this? Why would he go through all these lengths to save us? Why would he go to the cross and die and sacrifice himself? What was his end goal? And what Paul is saying is that being saved isn't the end goal for us. Going to heaven isn't the end goal for us. Having eternal life isn't the end goal for us. Being adopted is the end goal for us. This is what Paul is saying. Adoption is the end goal for us. So all of the things that we say are the blessings of salvation. God's love, his grace, his forgiveness, his mercy, his redemption. All of that happens in order for us to be adopted into God's family as his sons and daughters. So that the Father, the Heavenly Father, can adopt each and every one of us. This is why we get saved. Being saved isn't the goal. Being adopted is the goal. God takes us into his family. And man, if salvation was the goal, our relationship with God wouldn't be anything more than just like than between a defendant and a judge. It wouldn't be anything more than that. But because adoption is the goal, this is why J.I. Packer can say that closeness, that affection, and generosity are at the heart of this relationship. I mean, to be right with God the judge is a great thing, but to be loved and to be cared for by God as God the Father is even greater. So if the Father adopts us, and then that means that he sees us here, you and me, as the fatherless, the orphan, the helpless ones, the vulnerable ones, the ones who are lost, the ones who don't belong anywhere. And the heart that he has for the orphan, for us, is the same heart that he has for each and every one of us, right? And Jesus, our big brother, our elder brother, says to us, "I will not leave you as orphans. I'll not leave you as orphans." I mean, the ultimate story of adoption is never going to be the one I tell you, as Pastor Keith tells you about the adoption of my own daughter, Audrey. It might be a great story, but it's not the ultimate story. The ultimate story of adoption is how God the Father sends his only true son on this mission. And that mission was that to bring many wayward and rebellious sons to glory, to adopt us. We are the rebellious sons that Jesus came to redeem. We are the orphans that Jesus came to bring home. Where Jesus redeems us and gathers us together so that we might receive adoption as sons and daughters of the Father who loved and cherished us so much that he did the unthinkable. Man, if this central truth rings true to us, if this captures our imaginations, captures our hearts, if it will change us forever. Because if this is true, if God wants to adopt us, if that's his goal for us, I mean, this is what this means, that God actually cherishes and delights in me. That he takes joy in me, his child, his son. I mean, he is moving heaven and earth to bring us to himself. He's crossing oceans and cosmic planes to make this happen, right? When Cece and I were in Taiwan, sitting on this train from Taipei to Kaohsiung, to meet Audrey for the first time and bring her home. Man, this was the craziest trip ever. I mean, can you imagine this roller coaster of emotions? Man, we were scared, we were excited, we were nervous, we were ecstatic all at the same time because literally within minutes, our lives were going to change forever. Something seismic was going to happen. Something huge was going to happen. And when we saw Audrey for the first time and held her for the first time, it was like our hearts were going to explode out of our chests. It was one of the greatest moments of our lives, literally. And look, Cece and I, we paid this big chunk of money. We did a bunch of paperwork. I hopped on a plane to cross this ocean to pick up our daughter, Audrey. I mean, we would have paid any price to bring her to home, to adopt her. But our Heavenly Father, man, he paid the price of his son, our big brother. Can you imagine the joy that the Father had when his son accomplished what he did on the cross to pay the price, making it possible for us to be adopted by him? Can you imagine this? You don't think about the cost when this happens. You don't think about the sacrifice. It's like, finally, I can't wait for my kids to come home to me. I can bring them home again. Can you imagine being loved like that? That there is no price the Father would pay for you to be part of his family. Because you know what? We are loved that much. We are loved that much. I mean, this is the reality of the situation, that you and I are loved that much. You are that valuable to him. You are that beautiful to him. You are that delightful to him. He cherishes you and finds joy in you and delights in you that much. I mean, can you feel this? Can you get a sense of this? Can you see this? Because if you can see this, I mean, if you can get that this is God's heart for us, then this is what it means to us. This is what it means for us, that there is a call on us if we are sons and daughters adopted by the Heavenly Father, who had paid no price, who spared no cost, who paid everything for us to be part of his family. This is his call to us. Brian Lawrence is this pastor in Memphis. He wrote a book a couple years ago called The Cross-Shaped Gospel. And in the book, he describes the gospel as having this vertical dimension and having a horizontal dimension, right? You see the cross shape there? It's like vertical and horizontal. But you can't separate them. You can't separate them. What he means by this is that there's this vertical movement that takes place. It's always God coming down to us, to man in grace. It's always God sending us, God sending his son down to redeem us. I mean, that's vertical, right? It's God forgiving us in Christ. That's vertical. God the Father adopting us in love. That's vertical, right? There's this vertical movement of God down to us, right? It's always God coming down to us first. But as God moves down towards us in that vertical movement, it should always lead us here to this this horizontal movement, right? This cross-shaped gospel. We love because he first loved us. We forgive because God the Father forgave us. This vertical movement between God and us happens first so that this horizontal can happen. All right, you guys see that? So how does this relate to our conversation on orphans then? Well, God loved us so that we can express the same kind of love to others, to the orphan, right? This vertical movement from God to us should shape how we think about orphans' care and adoption horizontally. I mean, if the ultimate goal of redemption isn't giving us eternal life, but so that God can adopt us and that we can enjoy eternal life as his children, I mean, that vertical movement of God adopting us should influence us how we think about adoption and orphan care. And this is not to say that every Christian, that every single one of us here is called to adopt or bring in, or it's not saying that every one of us is called to bring in foster kids into our homes. But what it is saying is that every Christian, every one of God's people, if we've been adopted by God the Father, you and me, he's called his church to do, as James 1:27 says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. This is what our religion needs to look like. Dan Kruver, who is a pastor and he's a president of this organization called Together for Adoption. He writes that, I was once a stranger outside the covenants of covenants of promise. I was once without God and without hope in this world, But God brought me near by the blood of Jesus and placed me in his household. And so if there is a people on the face of this earth who should be passionate about caring for orphans in their afflictions, it is those whom God has visited in their own misery. If there is anyone who should care for orphans in their affliction, it would be God's children, God's sons through adoption. So the question is, what does this look like for us? We see the call. This is the call on us. This is how we need to live out the gospel. So what does this look like? What does this mean for us? If this vertical movement of God to adopt us into his family should move us to care for the orphan horizontally, what does that mean for our church, our families, ourselves? Because like I said, the reality is not everyone God calls to adopt, right? Not every Christian is called to bring a child into their homes or foster an orphan. But here's what we can do. And this is not everything, but this is a start, right? We start by praying for ourselves that we would get this glimpse of God's love for us in adopting us as in Jesus as his sons and daughters. It starts with that. If we can get a glimpse of how loved we are by God the Father, that he would adopt us and bring us into his family, how valued we are, that how loved we are, that he would bring us into it, invite us in to his banqueting table to share this meal together as family. If we can get a glimpse of that, it would change everything. We start praying for that. And then we pray for this passion for orphans and orphan care. We pray for a passion for adoption, just like our Heavenly Father has a passion for adoption and the orphan. We don't ask the question, who's going to care for these people? We ask the question, how can we care together as a church family? How can we do this together? But maybe God is calling us to adopt a kid, our child into our family. Maybe some of us can foster. Maybe that's the call on our lives. There are 16,000 kids in British Columbia alone who do not live with their biological parents. Fostering plays a huge part in providing some of these kids with the kind of stable family that they need to grow up into healthy adults. I met this retired couple at an adoption conference a few years back. They have four adult children of their own, and they're retired. And so one day they decided to bring four foster kids with special needs into their home. So now if you ask them, they'll say they have eight kids, right? I mean, there's no target audience for this message I'm bringing to you this morning. We are all called to care for orphans, right? Whether you're just starting out here in grade 7 or whether we're retired, we're all called to care for orphans. We do this because God cares for the orphan. And if this is God's heart, this has to be our heart as well. Another thing we could do is we can support and love on the single moms in our midst. And there are some and we support them with our time and our resources. Some of us can maybe commit to working in orphanages or institutions here in this city or overseas so that we can enrich the lives of orphans and bring and live out the gospel in front of them, demonstrating that to them. Others can pray for and support the families that do adopt and foster. If there are families in our midst that are called to adopt or foster, right, those around us can help fundraise or donate to ease some of that financial burden. Right? I mean, this is just the tip of the iceberg. There's so many things that God can ask of us to do. And so what is God asking you to do? What is it that's stirring in your heart for the orphan? Because if anyone is called to give of themselves joyfully to care for the orphan, man, it's got to be those of us here who God has already adopted into his spiritual family. It's got to be the church. It's got to be us. It's got to be you and me. Because sometimes we are all the hope that these little ones have. Let's pray. Lord, I pray, God, that you would just stir our hearts now. That Holy Spirit, that you would work in our hearts. That we would have your heart for the least of these, God. It's so easy to go through the everydays of our life, going through the motions, being buried under our own worries and stresses, the things that we need to deal with, our responsibilities, our duties. It's so easy to forget, God, that there are so many people who need you. And the call on us, the call that you give to us is that we are the ones who represent you, Jesus, to those. So whether it's the orphan, whether it's the widow, whether it's the immigrant, whoever the least of these in our lives, God, I pray that you would give us a heart for them, just like you have a heart for them. That you would break our hearts. God, would you just open our eyes to this world and the brokenness and the hurt and the loneliness that this world is soaked in. And that we would bring light to these dark places. So move our feet, God. Move our hearts. Just thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.